Today's shiur is in Parsha Shmini. Sedra begins, Vahi b'yom ha-shmini kara Moshe l'Aron l'vanav z'knei Yisrael. So the Sefer Dibu Vechein asks that Lashon of kara is strange. It says on the eighth day that Moshe called Aaron and his sons. What is he calling? Calling out if somebody's far away and you're calling out to them. But there should have just said, Amar Moshe l'Aron. He was standing with Stammer right there. He should have just said, Moshe said to Aaron, not he called to him. So he says that Aaron was zocha to Gdula because of his midah, that he didn't hold high of himself. When even though Moshe was chosen to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, and Pashto's Aaron should have been the one that was chosen, since he was the leader of the people and for 80 years and during the Shibut, etc. But when he heard Moshe was chosen, it says, Baracha basamach libo. It didn't, he was totally fine with it, didn't bother him. So it's interesting that we find the same trait over here by Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu this was the eighth day of the Miluim. The first 7 days, Moshe Rabbeinu acted as a Kohen Gadol. Now on the eighth day, Hashem says, okay, stop Moshe Rabbeinu, now give it over to Aaron, he's going to be the Kohen Gadol. So Moshe also could have felt, you know, Nifga, you know, here, to give up this position, give it over to Aaron. But it didn't bother him. Where do we see? Kara Moshe Aaron. What is Kara? Kara is Lashon Chiba. Like Rashi says in the beginning of Vayikra, El Moshe, beginning of Parshas Vayikra, so Rashi says that Kriya is Lashon Chiba. So here, even though Moshe Rabbeinu had to give up his position as the Kohen Gadol Aaron, he did it with Chiba, didn't bother him, same like Aaron, didn't bother him. And therefore it says, Kara Moshe, he called out to Aaron, he with the same Chiba, even though he had to give up the position. It says in Chazal, it's Yalkut Shimoni, in the Pasuk Chul Sirizim Lechatas, the Midrash says as follows, V'chimaru Yisrael avi yoser mi Aaron. Why did Klal Yisrael bring more sacrifice than Aaron did? El amar lahem atem yesh b'yedchem b'tchila v'yesh b'yedchem b'sof. He said, you, Klal Yisrael, you have a problem at the beginning and a problem at the end that you need a sacrifice for. Yesh b'chem b'tchila says v'yishchatu si'irizim, referring to the mechira of Yosef. So you have a pagam of the mechiras Yosef. V'yesh b'yadchem b'sof, and you have a problem now at the end, asulam egel masecha, that you made the chata egel. So therefore, yavo se'ir v'yachaper al ma'ase se'ir, yavo egel v'yachaper al ma'ase egel. Therefore, they needed to bring also a se'ir and also an egel as a kapara for those two things, mechiras Yosef and the egel. So the question is asked, what's the connection between the two? It seems like you have to bring for the Mechiras Yosef. All of a sudden now we need a kapara for those two things, the Mechiras Yosef, the ego. Why? What's the connection here? So the Meshech Chochma says that for the sin of Mechiras Yosef, Klal Yisrael could have had an excuse. They could have said, look, the brothers could have said, it wasn't our fault. You know, it had Yosef bin Mochiach Otanu, then we would have been able to, you know, we would have accepted. You know, what did he do instead? Yosef goes telling our father, did this. He would have come to us and said, look, I saw you eating Rimin Achai, etc. Then we would have been able to, okay, accept the Tochacha and change, whatever. But he didn't. He went around behind our backs to our father. He would have come straight out. We wouldn't have done what we did. So fine, so that was an excuse, that was a teretz that they had, that tech took them through. Until what? Until the chet eagle. When it came at the time for the eagle, and Chur, the son of Miriam, gave them tochacha and said, don't do this. What did they do to them? They killed them. So what did they show by that? They showed that they don't accept tochacha. And Mela, their teretz lasted until the chet eagle. Once the chet eagle came, then in the Mafreya, the whole excuse that they had that we would have just accepted the Tochacha, it wasn't holding, didn't hold water anymore. But Mela, now they had to bring a kapara for both the Mechiras Yosef and for the Ego. It says, Vayisa Aaron es yadav el ha'am vivarchem. Rashi says, Vivarchem birkas kohanim. Yivarechacha yar yisa. Here Aaron Kohen is giving the birkas kohanim. The question is asked that why Dafka now? Not, until now, no Birkas Kohanim. All of a sudden now, oh, Birkas Kohanim. Well, what changed? Sefer Mikra Dardiki says the following. The Shulchan Aruch brings down that a Kohen that doesn't love the Tzibur or the tzibur doesn't love him, is not allowed to do birkas kohanim. Memeila. Aaron a kohen, until once the Klal Yisrael, you know, sort of forced him to make the egel, yet you know, push them off, etc., and he was forced into making the egel. So he could have had the, you know, tina belibo. He could have been upset at the Klal Yisrael. Look, it's because of them I had to do the egel. So he didn't love them 100%. Because of them he had to do the egel. Also the other way around, that since they, in the end, Aaron helped them do the egel, Klal Yisrael could have not liked Aaron and says, you know, because of you, the egel was made, and now Hashem has tain on us. So they each had, he had a tain on them, they had tain on him, so he couldn't do the Birkas Kohanim. But now, as we said, they brought a kapara for the Chet HaEgel. So now, oh, now they have a kapara, now he can love them, they can love him, and therefore it's Dafka now, where Vivarchem, he gives him the Birkas Kohanim. It says, V'teitze eish milifnei Hashem atochal osam yemusu. Speaking about the Nadav and Aviv, that the different sheets is exactly what they did. According to some Chazal, they say that they brought the Ketores into the Kodesh. They wanted to get close to Kodesh Baruch Hu, so they went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and they brought Ketores in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Nun Beis, says the following: Shnei chutin shel eish yatsu mi beis kodesh hakadoshim v'nech l'kula arba. There were these two chutim, we want to define it as of fire, that came out of the kodesh hakadoshim. These two split up into four. And v'nichasnu shnayim bechotmo shel zeh v'shnayim bechotmo shel zeh, and two of them, now we have four strands of a fire, two of them went into the nostrils of Nadav and two of them nostrils of Aviyu, and they were, and that's how they were burnt. So the question is, why dafka were they punished through their noses? When dafka, the fire went into their nose, why dafka their nose? So the Ben Ish Chai answers very simply. He says, because their nose was the first thing that went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. They went into Kodesh HaKadoshim. What's the first thing when a person walks standing straight, goes into something? His nose is the first thing that enters. So Mela, their nose was the first thing to enter. That's where their nose was punished. So he brings an interesting comparison from a Gemara in Yoma, Daf Yotes Amud Beis. So Maisa Bitztoki Echad, right? One of the famous machloikim between the Prushim and the Tztokim, it was about bringing the Ketores in Yom Kippur, right? We hold that you bring in, the Kohen Gadol is supposed to first bring in to the Kodesh HaKadoshim separately the Ketores and the fire and the coals, and then inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim he puts the Ketores and makes the smoke. Whereas at Stokim held that you do it before you go into Kodesh HaKadoshim, you bring it in already smoking. So the story goes, there was once at Stoki that he did it their way. When he first, you know, made the fire outside, brought it inside, etc., and when he came out, says he was sameach simcha gadol. He was so happy. So his father bumped into him and he said, "Listen, son, you know, okay, you know, you did the way we, you know, we hold, but you know, don't be too happy about it, because the prushim, you know, they see you be too happy, you know, they're gonna get very upset, and who knows what they're gonna do. So they'll keep it, you know, keep it low key." So what did he say back to his father? He says, what do you mean? How could I hold this back? Kol yamai ha'isi mitztayir ala mikra zeh ki ve'anan ira'al ha'kaporas. I was this whole, my whole life, I was like, oh, when are we able to mekayim this pasuk the way we hold? And now I was able to do it, so how could I not be happy? So his father said, okay, that's what he told his father. So they said, the Gemara says, Lo hayu yamim uatim ad shemet v'hu tal be'ashpa. So what happened? He got punished from Shemaim, and not so long after that, he was found dead in the garbage dump. And the Gemara concludes, Vayu tolaim yotzim mechotmo. And there are these insects, they're climbing in and out of his nostrils, his nose. So says the Ben Yoyada, why dafka were these things going inside in his nose? According to what we said before, it's very good, because what was the first thing that went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with the Ketoret for the Tzoki? His nose. But mainly here too, we have the nose being the part which is punished. Okay. It says, after Nadav and Aviyu died, it says that Aaron's reaction was Vayidom Aaron. He was quiet. So the Eremedaic, what's the Lashon of Vayidom? It could have said, it's Pasha, the normal Lashon we would have expected. He was something like Vayishtok, or he was quiet, he didn't say anything, he accepted the din. What's Vayidom? So the Gon Miastrovtza says the following. There's four dargas in the Bria. Midaber, Chai, Tzomeach, Vedomem. Right, Medaber is a human being that speaks. The Chai is like animal, the animal world. Tzomeach is like vegetation, and Vedomem is the minerals. So he said, if a person is pogea, does something bad, hurts somebody's feelings, a chai, a human. So what's the natural reaction going to be? The person will give him back. You know, you embarrass somebody, he screams back at you. You hit somebody, he'll hit you back. Yeah, that's the normal reaction of a chai. Of a medaber, of a human being. What about a chai? If you do something to an animal, you hit an animal, you pull a dog's tail, so he's either going to bite you, also react back, or if he might run away. If you throw a rock at him, he might run away. That's a chai. A tzomeach is not going to do anything back to you, it's just a plant or whatever, but if you cut it, you'll be able to see that dead flower here in front of you. So also, it's nikar, what was done to it. However, the only one that's not the case is with a mineral, a domem. You take a rock and you hit it, or you do something, throw it down, whatever. You're not going to see anything. It's not going to do anything back to you. It's not going to run away. And there's no visible any difference in the thing. I mean, Mele, that was the godless of Aaron. When Aaron's sons died, he acted v'yidom lashon domem. He acted like the mineral, meaning not only they didn't react, he didn't answer back to Kadosh Baruch Hu, or it wasn't even nikkur on him. He didn't even have like a sad face, so to speak. You couldn't tell any difference before and after the thing because of his acceptance of Kadosh Baruch Hu's din. That was for lashon v'yidom Aaron lashon domem. Okay, it says, interesting, there's a Maseches Sofrim on the Pasuk Ve'seir HaChatas Darosh Darosh Moshe. So the Maseches Sofrim says that Darosh Darosh is Chatzi Tevo Shel Torah. And the middle, this is the middle of the words in the Torah, the amount of words. And it says over there that when writing the Sefer Torah, Darosh is Besof Shita. You write it at the end of the line. And at the beginning of the next line, you write the next word, Darosh. So the Sefer Nachlas Yaakov, which is the parish on Maseches Sofrim, he explains, brings in the name of the Megale Amukos, what's the significance here? The fact that the first word of Darosh is at the end of one line, Darosh beginning of the next line. It's to hint to the fact that sometimes a person might make a drasha and think, wow, this is the ultimate drasha, right? It's the end of the line. It's like at the end, the last word in the drasha. No better drasha than this, right at the end, right? But then you have to realize, as great as the drasha can be, there's still, you haven't even started yet. In the beginning of the next line, say, that's a drasha. So you think you're finished, you didn't even start. It says by the animals, the kosher animals, unkosher animals. So it says, we have three animals that have one siman to them. That's a gamal, says the pasuk, kimala gerahu, ufarsa inenu mafris, that it chews its cud, but it doesn't have split hooves. That's a shafan, kimala gerahu, ufarsa lo yafris. Also, it chews its cud, but it doesn't have split. That's our neves, kimala gerahu, ufarsa lo hifrisa. Our neves it chews its cud, also doesn't have split hooves. So they point out the difference in the lashon over here. The gamal is a lashon of present tense. Parsalo mafris is present tense. Shafan is parsalo yafris, the future. And the arneves is malas gerahi ufarsalo hifrisa in the past. We find interesting the three lashonos, present, future, and past. Why? So the Rav Miastrovtza again says that there's a remez over here that if you're coming to apostle somebody to make him tameh, you have to look at the past, present, and future. You can't just look at the person, okay, maybe he's doing something wrong now, but look at the present. But it could be because what happened in the past to him and this caused him to do whatever, or what's going to be in the future, and he's a reaction of what he's expecting, whatever the case might be. You can't judge a person just on what you see. And therefore, you have to look at the past, present, and future in order to be koveya the tamehu. It's a remissive. Okay. It's an interesting question and interesting answer as well. The Kli Yakar says the lashon of the, as we saw by the Gamal, let's say, and the Chazir compares the two. It says, okay, these things you're not allowed to eat that, that when it comes to the chewing their cud and split hooves. It says, Esa Gamal. Ki ma'alei geirahu farsain enu mafris tamim ulechem. Because it chews its cud and doesn't have split hooves, so there it's tamim. And then it says, by the chazir, ki mafris parsahu has split hooves, v'shosa shesa parsahu, v'hu geira lo yigar, but it doesn't chew its cud, therefore tamim ulechem. So he points out that the Torah says, let's say by the Gemal, like why is it not kosher? Ki male geirahu, but the male geirahu is not the reason it should be tameh. If efech, that's the good part that it chooses its cud. The problem is that the second part, that the parsein in a mafris. So why does the Torah write it? It's tameh. Why? Ki male geirahu, because it chooses its cud. And we find the same thing by the chazir. It says, ki mafris, why is it no good? Ki mafris parsahu, v'shosaz, it has split hooves, and that's why it's tameh, and it doesn't chew its cud. No, okay, it doesn't chew its cud, but having split hooves, that's the reason why it should be tar. So why does the Torah say it's tameh because it's has split hooves? So he answers that the gamal, what's the one kosher simon that's chewing its cud? So when the gamal's chewing his cud, he's like, he's always chewing. So he's like showing, like, look, I'm tahor. You see, look, I'm chewing my cud. But what happens when it lies down? It's the derech of the gamal, where we saw camels, is that they bend their knees and they lie on their feet. So you can't see, they hide their simen tameh, the tumma of the split hooves. So they show off their simen tahor, they're chewing, and their simen tameh that is hidden underneath them, you can't see. Whereas where the by the chazir, the pig, it's totally the opposite, right? It's okay. You can't tell if it's chewing or it's not chewing its cud. But when it comes to its feet, it's split hooves. It sticks out its feet when it lies down and shows off. You see, I'm tahor. It shows its split hooves. So Meili says, what's the negative point of these two animals? Is they're like hypocritical. They want to show keilu they're tahor, but really they're not. Right, they show up, look, I'm tower, really they're not tower. So they look tower, but they're not. That's the, and therefore the dafka, the simen tower, adds to the tuma, because it makes them hypocritical. But the animal that's straight out and out, tame, okay, it's tame, that's it. But what's even worse is somebody who pretends to be tower, but is really tame. And therefore that's a simen tuma. The Sefer Kava Yashar, it's interesting, Maisa, there was once a very wealthy yid, and he wanted to very badly come to Eretz Yisrael on Aliyah. So he got all his things together and to make the journey. So he started off on his journey, and he arrived at Istanbul, and he saw in the shul somebody the whole day was wearing talis and tefillin, learning and davening. And he said, wow, this looks like a very, yashar stiga guy, something I can trust. So he went over to him one day after davening, and he says, I explained, I'm going now to Eretz Yisrael, and I have a lot of money, a fortune, and I don't want to start schlepping around with me everywhere I go until I get to come to Eretz Yisrael. So I'd rather just leave my fortune here and go to Eretz Yisrael, settle, get a place to live, and then come back for it. And I'd like to know if you would be so kind to be shomer, to watch it for me. So he said, sure, no problem. So he brought him to his storehouse or whatever, and he said, put everything here, and he put all his money and his jewels and everything, stored it away for him, and he said, no problem. Good. So the Yid then went to Eretz Yisrael. He actually settled, found a place in Hebron. He settled in Hebron, and after everything, he got his place, decided to go back for his money. So he made the journey back to Istanbul. He came there, went to the same shul, and sure enough, he sees the Yid there with his talis and tefillin, whatever. And he comes up to him after davening again. He says, oh, shalom aleichem. So the guy in shul says, aleichem shalom, and who are you? He says, what do you mean, who am I? You know who I am. He says, no. He says, what do you mean? I'm the guy that gave you all my money or whatever to watch. He goes, I know what you're talking about. said, "What are you talking about? I gave you what?" He says, "Listen, I don't know." He says, "What are you? I gave you money. What are you? What are you?" So then the guy got all upset and he starts screaming and he's cursing him. Whatever the yid with his tallis and tefillin, he's always cursing. So this rich man, like, he said, he was, "Oh, now what?" I mean, he was in big trouble. So he went up to the Aaron. And he said, "Daven to Hashem." He said, "Hashem, you know, I put my trust in this guy. He's wearing his tallis and tefillin all day, so I figured he's not his guy. And he tricked me, and he took all my money. What should I do?" So the Eliyahu Hanavi came and told the guy, the rich guy. He said, "Listen," he says, "I'll give you a simon, and with this simon, I'll help you get your stuff back." He says, "What's that?" He said, "This guy looks like such a big tzaddik. First of all, on Pesach, he ate with his wife chametz on Pesach, and on Yom Kippur, before he went to davening, he grabbed himself a breakfast, ate and drank on Yom Kippur before he went to shul. So, take that as a siman, and fine. So, what did he do?" He waited till the guy next day left his house for davening. He went to knocked on the door. His wife answered, and he said, "Listen, I have your husband has my money and stuff, and I'd like to collect it. So he left me the siman to tell you to you should know that I'm it's my money and that you should give it to me." She says, "Yes, something that nobody knows except for you and your husband." She says, "What's that?" "Well, you ate chametz on Pesach, and that your husband ate on Yom Kippur." So she says, "Oh, yeah, of course, yeah, okay, fine. Nobody knew that except for him and me." So here, and gave him all his stuff, and he made his way to Eretz Yisrael. And in the meantime, the husband came home, and she said, "Oh," and the guy came for his stuff, and he gave him the siman. He says, "What are you talking about?" And told him the siman. Anyways, they were not too happy about what happened, and the story ends that they both himiru at that time, and they left Yiddishkeit completely. Okay, one last thing for today. Says towards the end of the sedra, it says, "Viskadishtem ve'isim kadoshim ki kadoshani ve'losatamu et nafshaseichem v'chol asheretz haramis al haaretz." So Rashi darshins the viskadishtem ve'isim kadoshim, that k'shem shani kadosh, shani Hashem Elokeichem, Hashem says, just like I'm kadosh, that I am the Hashem your God. So kach viskadishtem kachu et atzmechem lemata. So you too, you should mekadosh yourself down here. So the Netziv Mivolozhin explains that the kavana is that if a person wants to ensure, he wants to make sure that he isn't nichshal in machal esasuras, eating things he shouldn't, even not b'shogeg, so he has to do whatever he can, his utmost, to make sure he doesn't eat anything on kosher. And then v'hiskadishtem, if you do whatever you can do, then Hashem comes through v'yisim kadoshim and helps you to become kadosh, that you're not going to even b'shogeg eat something that's not kosher. Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld tells over that in the time of the Chasam Sofer, there's a maisa with two Jewish merchants, that they purchased a ship, and they used to take the Yisrora from one place to another, buying and selling, whatever. So one day they came to Spain, and they had bad luck, and they were taken by the government officials, whatever, and they accused them of doing business with stolen merchandise, which of course wasn't true, but they were taken, they were put in prison, separate cells or whatever, separate places, and until the thing would be cleared up. So, since this was during the Inquisition, the times of the Inquisition, so they were very careful to hide their Yiddishkeit, because it was going to be sakanas nefashos if they would give up that they show that they were Jewish. Anyway, so one of them was pretended he wasn't Jewish, and they came one day to give him some food in the prison, in the jail, in the cell. So the guy brought some meat. So he assumed, of course, it was not kosher meat. And as much as he tried to, hide it, he just like, just made something like a sour face. He says, "Oh, gross, can I eat this?" or whatever. So the guy that brought the meat, he took him over to the side quietly, and he said, "Listen, you know, I just want to let you know that I'm Jewish. Also, I'm an Anus, and you know, I'm pretending to be a, you know, goy and everything, but I'm Jewish, and I'm in charge of the shechita here, to killing the animals, and the meat's 100% kosher. I just want to let you know that." So he goes, "Oh, thank you so much, whatever," and he was able to eat the meat. So after a while, they examined, they, you know, they checked these people out, and they found out, of course, that they were innocent, didn't do anything wrong, so they let them go, and freed them. So they went back onto their ship and continued their journey. So, of course, while they were together again, the two partners, they were discussing of what happened while they were in prison, this and that. So the first one said, "You know, amazing thing happened, you know, I thought I was given treif, and meanwhile I was kosher," da, da, da. I told them the whole story. So this friend said, "Oh, I wish I had that. The mazal, I didn't. You know, I just was given treif food and I had no choice but to eat it. You know, because of pikuach nefesh, I had to eat it." Anyways, they came to the Chasam Sofer afterwards and they told him what happened. And he said, "You know, it's interesting how one had tremendous siyata d'shmaya, didn't have to eat unkosher, whereas the other one didn't have siyata d'shmaya." So the Chasam Sofer said, based on this word we mentioned before, said to the one that had to eat the treifus, and said, "Did you in your past ever eat, were not careful in kashrus?" So he says, "Chas v'shalom, you know, well, no, I'm always very careful my whole life, I always careful." He says, "No, you're sure? He says, "Yes, you know, it's, come on, there had to have been some time, because of that you were nichshol b'shogeg, so there must be some time that you weren't careful." So he thought, then he said, wait a second, maybe this could be what happened. He says, "I remember when I was just newly married, my wife served me some meat. But then, before I even ate, she said, 'Wait a second, now I see there might be a problem with this, I don't know, was it chicken or whatever, it's a problem with it, it might be treif, shaila.' So I looked at it, and I said, it looks fine, it looks okay, it's fine." So she goes, "No, I don't know, I'm not sure, you know, I better bring it to the Rav." So my wife brought it to the Rav, and the Rav looked at it, this back and forth, and he said that the Rav himself wasn't sure. He says, "It's a rechiyun, I have to look into this, not pashut, it's a suffix, this and that." Anyways, my wife came home and told me, and I said, "Nah, there's nothing wrong with it, it's fine," and I ate it. So the Chasam Sofer, there's your answer. "I knew it." He said, "Because you weren't careful in the Ma'achasuras and you ate this food, which had a suffix, a shayla on it, because of that, you saw that you ended up being nichshol in Marchas Asuras, as opposed to your friend, who was always here his whole life in this Indian, so he was saved, and he had Siyata Deshmar, who ate only kosher." So we should all be zoicha that to be viskadishtem, as the pasuk says, and if we're vizocha to be yoitzi the viskadishtem, then viyisam kadoshim, we should be also zocha to be kadoshim, and have siyata d'shmaya to do only what's right in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and vizocha to be as go tzedek, bimhir v'yameinu.